Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It is a great nation that is returning to our great national pastimes. People attending baseball games, even with the horrific Mariners losing streak. Can you imagine they have had two no-hitters thrown against them? Two in the same season. In any event, yes, people are returning to baseball games and being able to do so, particularly people who are successfully vaccinated and completely vaccinated, returning to basketball games, the National Softball Championship, where our very own Washington Huskies have been doing spectacularly well. All of that going on. And that gives people the chance to hear the Star Spangled Banner in most places and in most venues. And that, of course, has become controversial because of Colin Kaepernick. But actually, the Star Spangled Banner has been controversial for a long time. It only formally became our national anthem in 1931. There is now a new story, and it's a fascinating story, in the Washington Post, about the tradition that we have, and it was really a tradition that goes back to the Civil War. Apparently the first record we have of the Star Spangled Banner being played at a sporting event was during the war, when there was a new stadium that was dedicated, and they played the Star Spangled Banner. And then in 1918, during America's participation in World War I, it was the first example of the national anthem being played in the World Series, during the World Series, right at before the very conclusion, our victory in World War I. And no, I am not associating the playing of the Star Spangled Banner in Major League Baseball with the idea of American victory. However, if there was any kind of vote, at least according to a brand new poll by the Washington Post and the University of Maryland. And by the way, University of Maryland, why? Because the Star Spangled Banner commemorates an event that was very much part of Maryland history. Fort McHenry in Maryland, near Washington, D.C., was the place where the original Star Spangled Banner, "Oh, Long May It Wave," was being assaulted by the British fleet in the river and getting ready to try to reduce the fort, but the flag kept flying through the night. Oh, say can you see if our flag is still there? And that's basically the Maryland connection. In any event, they asked a question of people about how they felt about the Star Spangled Banner. And here's what the results showed. Among all Americans, a Washington Post, University of Maryland poll concluded in March of this year showed that 84% support the anthem being played or sung before professional sporting events. 71% say they feel positive when the song plays. The survey was conducted in collaboration with the University of Maryland's Shirley Povich Center for Sports Journalism and its Center for Democracy and Civic Engagement. But the results also hint at the stark racial divide among Americans about how they feel about the song. While 4/5 of white Americans and 2/3 of both Hispanics and Asian Americans say the anthem makes them feel positive, only 35% of black Americans share those emotions. And 22% of black Americans, 1 out of 5, say they feel negative when they hear the song at sporting events. Would you be among that majority of Americans who say you would be upset if they ceased playing the Star Spangled Banner at sporting events? 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. A lot of this goes to the whole idea that you hear again and again and again that the song is racist. What is that based on? It's based on words that are never sung, that most people don't even know about, and they don't even have an awareness of the context, frankly. In the third stanza of the Star Spangled Banner, and this was written as a poem, it wasn't originally written as a song, but here's the stanza that is so objectionable, and I will dare to read it. And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country, should leave us no more? Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. That's it. So where is the reference to race? And it's the only reference that can be imputed to race at all anywhere in the Star-Spangled Banner. It's when they say no refuge could save the hireling and slave. That's what Francis Scott Key wrote. And from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And there is a supposition by some historians. Historians are divided on this, and they're clearly divided. There's an interesting piece from Public Radio International, from PRI, that talks about this dispute among historians. And part of the dispute is based upon what it says, the hireling and slave. The sort of normal, superficial way of understanding that would be that what Francis Scott Key meant to do was, as they say in this article from PRI, historians point out that Key never told anyone what he actually meant. And many historians interpret his mention of hirelings and slaves to reference all of the invading British forces. It says, it echoes similar rhetoric used since the Revolutionary War to describe the forces of the King of England, especially those units purchased from German princes. American writers contrasted these miserable hirelings and slaves with the virtuous all-volunteer citizen armies of America. That sounds right to me. Sounds entirely possible. Remember, everybody who's learned about the Revolution, and you can learn about the Revolution, of course, in our Revolution series at michaelmedved.com, a group of German mercenaries were purchased by King George. They were the primary force that was defeated at the Battle of Trenton, Washington crossing the Delaware on Christmas Eve of 1776. In any event, the point about this is that those were known as Hessians, and other German mercenaries who were purchased from elsewhere were all called Hessians because they were from Hesse. This idea that it was an actual reference to slaves who had been kidnapped from Africa, is based on the experience of the colonial Marines. And during the War of 1812, the British, who were trying to recruit local sympathizers, actually approached some of the slave populations in the South, and they recruited them into the Royal Navy or into the Colonial Marines with the promise of freedom. There were some 6,000 slaves who actually fought in those units. So does that make the Star-Spangled Banner racist? Or is it just better to continue the anthem and continue leaving that verse out? We'll be right back with your response, 1-800-955-1776.
Michael Medved.
To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, and that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/Medved, you can get a free mini book, free, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/Medved. That's discovery.org/Medved. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners. Lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Voice of Whitney Houston. That was in 1991. It was at Super Bowl 25. It was just on the verge of America's participation in the first Gulf War. And if you watch Whitney Houston, the incomparable Whitney Houston, she knew she was stirring the crowd. She knew she was putting fervor and soul into the anthem. They mention that Marvin Gaye also did an enormously cool version of the anthem at a 1983 NBA All-Star game in Los Angeles. And I mention that because I don't think that at that point anyone had determined that because Francis Scott Key was a slave owner, he was also a drunk. I'm sorry, he had an enormous alcohol problem, and he ended up writing this one great poem. I mean, we don't the whole idea that the song should be viewed racist because of that one brief passage in the third stanza that nobody sings anymore. I would be disappointed if the song were removed, if this tradition went away. And again, when you actually dig into a poll like this, and I think it's an interesting poll, and I think it indicates why this is such a wonderful country, because most people in the country are reasonable. And they also ask people how they feel about stars like Colin Kaepernick, who kneel for the anthem, or he used to originally, he was sitting for the anthem, he wouldn't stand for it. And what it found was that most people felt fine about athletes registering an individual protest like that. But most people would also not feel fine if the anthem went away. White adults, 68%, say that playing it not at all is even worse. They quote one of the respondents to the poll: "Do you support or oppose the national anthem being played or sung before professional sporting events?" Again, 80% of American adults generally support it. But one of the respondents makes the case that playing it and somebody kneeling is better than not playing it at all. That sentiment is most prevalent among white adults, 68%. It dips to 51% of Hispanic adults, 45% of Asian Americans, and 24% of Black Americans. And honestly, it has only been in recent years that focus on the third stanza and the reference to hireling and slave has taken over. I do think I'm going to use the occasion because it's actually a surprisingly good poem. And the last stanza, the fourth stanza, which is not controversial at all and shouldn't be. It's only controversial with people like the Freedom From Religion Foundation. But the fourth stanza says this: "Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto: in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." And by the way, that is where they borrowed the term "In God We Trust," which eventually, during the Civil War, was put on some of our currency. Speaking of currency and divisions in the United States, there's a view of the partisan divide that is so simplistic and again, does not capture what is clearly the middle mood of the American people regarding the Star Spangled Banner. In other words, people were not ready to launch Mark Cuban because he stopped playing the Star Spangled Banner at Mavericks games. People still came to the games. And but then when he restored it, and he restored it when he was ordered to do so by Adam Silver, the commissioner of basketball, people seem to be happy and to like that. The moderate nature of the American public, respecting and liking, apparently, many people do, Colin Kaepernick at the same time that they want the anthem to remain. That's the kind of nuance, that's the kind of open-heartedness that I think most Americans favor. But in the media, as you will hear, the simplistic reductionism into the left good, the right bad, evil, horrible, unthinkable, racist, corrupt. It's one of those things that I think will be a factor in the elections coming up, and why I think that what Rich Lowry was saying on our air earlier today is right. Republicans hold the upper hand as long as we don't fall into the same traps. We'll take a listen to some of those traps. Coming up on the Medved Show, 1-800-955-1776.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Senate in session on Monday, set to have a jam-packed week as senators try to bring a massive piece of legislation across the finish line and huddle behind the scenes for a slew of increasingly time-sensitive issues. The Senate is likely to leave on Thursday afternoon for a one-week break. One of the things on the agenda this week is a bill to invest more than $100 billion to counter China's competitiveness. Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, saying,
supply chains, espionage, those are all important topics, but all the policy tweaks in the world would not amount to much help if we lose our military edge with respect to China.
President Biden is using a visit to FEMA headquarters to urge vulnerable regions to prepare for hurricane season. The administration also designating $1 billion to help states prepare for extreme weather events. USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Michael Medved Show, one of the tendencies that is going to undermine any political party or any attempt to try to persuade people and win people to your side is an effort to divide Americans based on ideology into good and evil. One of the winning characteristics that made Ronald Reagan such a force, that made Dwight Eisenhower such a force, and yes, that allowed people like Bill Clinton to prosper politically, was the idea of accepting the fact that most Americans, including people who might disagree with you profoundly and might hold views that you don't like and don't support and don't share, they're still good people, and they still mean well. And that's why the tendency that's increasingly visible on the left is, I think, so regrettable. Now, look, this doesn't mean that it's not appropriate to call out, oh, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene who try to compare mask mandates with the Holocaust. And that talking specifically about taking people to gas chambers on trains. And she said it's exactly like that, the mask mandate. It's like being forced to wear a yellow star. No, it's not. That's hateful. Doesn't mean she's a terrible person. It does mean she is not an admirable commentator on contemporary events, but neither is Dean Obadiah. Dean's been on this show before, and he's a professional comedian. He's on MSNBC a lot. He is a person of the left. He's also Arab-American and has some feelings about Israel that I don't share. But this is Dean Obadiah with host Tiffany Cross on MSNBC, giving his own definition and description of today's Republican Party. Listen, clip 4.
I'm just curious your thoughts on this situation as we just try to survive this 400-year nightmare of being under attack of violent white rule.
First of all, Tiffany, your emotion is moving to me and everyone watching. And the pain you're articulating is something that listeners to my show who are black have called in. I can't tell you how many conversations I have in my show over and over again, like a twisted, grotesque Groundhog Day, where we see black people killed by the police, unarmed. And as Ellie said, it's a lynching and then a cover-up. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, we see the same thing on January 6th. It was white terrorism there and a cover-up going on. With the killing in Louisiana, it was white terrorism again and a cover-up going on. And I think one of the worst parts is that Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar, Ron Johnson, other Republicans are literally defending terrorists. This is the party we're dealing with. They're not a political party. They're a white nationalist movement. They're a fascist threat to our nation. That's not hyperbolic. That's academic.
Okay, that's not hyperbolic, it's academic. They are a threat to our nation. They're not a political party, they're a terrorist movement, a fascist threat to our nation. And Dean Obadiah, unfortunately, is not alone. There's a very prominent reporter for the Washington Post, his name is Perry Bacon Jr., And he came on to CNN to describe his vision of what separates Republicans from Democrats. Listen.
Journalism should be not aligned with either party, but I think we've interpreted it to mean journalism should be equally distant between the two parties, and I think that's not realistic. Journalism has a bias for facts, evidence, truth. And if like half of the voters in one party and a lot of the elected officials in a party are not being truthful, journalists are going to cover that and look like they're covering that party more negatively. So in this environment, we have to prioritize, we have to be pro-truth, pro-democracy, pro-evidence, and I think that's going to make it look like we're pro-democratic, but I think we should be pro-democratic small d, not pro-democratic capital D.
Okay, that's fair enough with the caveat. He's talking about democratic small d, in other words, democratic believing that the people rule and believing in our democratic republic. But the idea that the difference between Republicans and Democrats is a difference of a willingness to speak and deliver the truth, people should pay some attention to what is going on, for instance, in Arizona, where some Republicans have made an incredible mess of this so-called audit with the cyber security ninjas who are supposed to be helping them recount the votes in Arizona. It's a joke. It's embarrassing. And the people standing up against it have been Republicans. And the idea that you want to associate everyone in the Republican Party with the likes of Marjorie Taylor Greene, who obviously still holds on to her belief that America is permeated by an evil conspiracy involving people who are trafficking in children and drinking their blood and worshiping Satan. Come on. We're better than that. And we're better than trying to identify a party that really represents half the American people pretty consistently. Look at the closeness of the control of the House vote, the Senate vote. We are a divided nation. And we'll make no progress unless we have some respect for one another. However, how can you have respect for the idea that you're going to solve the homeless problem and the problem of homeless encampments by renaming them euphemistically and calling homeless encampments humanitarian zones? This is the brilliant idea of leaders in San Jose, California. San Jose is the third largest city in the state. It's a larger city in population than San Francisco. And they are discussing a new plan to end homeless sweeps, right? Instead of constantly putting thousands of unhoused people on the move, some camps are going to be reclassified as humanitarian zones. It was reported, this move, by KPIX Channel 5, like this.
San Jose City Council is meeting, and they've got a slew of issues dealing with the unhoused here in San Jose. One of them is to create these so-called humanitarian zones around camps like the ones behind me that would basically put it off limits for sweeps.
So smart that they moved us away from here, and then they see us again, and then they do it again. It's a never-ending circle thing.
Teresa Wilson has been living unhoused in San Jose for 6 years. She says she's been swept more times than she can remember, usually about once a month, and never moves far.
We think it's mean. It hurts your heart. It hurts that they keep moving you around, and like they don't want you here. You're unwanted. It makes you feel like an unwanted child.
Now comes a proposal to end the sweeps for certain encampments in San Jose, in what some are calling humanitarian zones.
The city doesn't want to use the term sanctioned encampment, but they want to call it humanitarian zones. And again, it affords the person the ability to focus on getting out of being homeless.
R.J. Ramsey ought to know. He was once unhoused but got into a low-income housing development and is now an advocate for the unhoused.
It's very difficult to move yourself out of homelessness if you're constantly being moved around in a circle.
The San Jose City Council could formalize the hands-off approach
approach to some encampments which meet certain criteria, such as not being near a school, not blocking streets or sidewalks, and not being in a waterway.
Not being in a waterway? Well, bathing, I guess. Since when did unhoused become... I understand, I was familiar with people experiencing homelessness, but the unhoused, we're now talking about, that's the euphemism of the day. But I guess if you're going to start calling a homeless encampment a humanitarian zone, then calling people living in that encampment unhoused makes sense. But remember, these encampments only get to be humanitarian zones if they're not near schools. What about the encampments at schools here in Seattle? We'll give you an update coming up.
The pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor. As the nation pivots from the Trump administration to the reality of the Biden administration, Americans seem divided as never before. What does our country even believe in common anymore? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. This institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, for religious liberty, for freedom of conscience, for family, for limited government, for free markets, for our nation's Judeo-Christian heritage. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com, and you will see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund managers. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. There are lots of them. You can find all this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's faithandfreedom.com. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all all over the world with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, we were talking about the maneuver in San Jose to declare homeless encampments, of which they've got plenty in San Jose. They have one of the biggest homeless problems of any city in the country. Virtually all of the biggest homeless problems seem to be on the West Coast, and maybe that's because of weather. Who knows? But certainly in Seattle, we continue to have. It's so sad. Really, it's such a beautiful city. We're all lucky to live here, spring season in particular. But my goodness, I mentioned earlier in the show that we went down to Seattle Center, which is where they held the World's Fair in 1962. And the Space Needle is there, and great stuff to see, and a great playground for kids. And the problem of homelessness, of encampments, of graffiti everywhere is so infinitely worse than it used to be or than it needs to be. But then you have the idea of the insane situation that is even too much for San Jose, which is the idea of a homeless encampment at a school. And here is the report on the latest of that insane situation from King 5 News. Listen.
It's an issue that's not going away anytime soon. This encampment just steps away from this public school in Seattle, and a recent incident is not easing concerns about security. Kids who attend Broadview Thompson K-8 went on lockdown Wednesday when an unknown man walked into a classroom that morning. A Seattle Public Schools rep says it's assumed the man entered a service door that was propped open. SPS says it's not confirmed the man was homeless, but it's something parents are forced to wonder about as they see how close these tents are to school grounds.
I mean, it just sounds crazy to even want to send your kid there.
Kyle Linehan and his family live in the neighborhood but are making plans to move out.
They send you a letter to look for needles before for the practices in the park and stuff, and it's just become such a... It's one of the reasons we're moving to Snohomish.
Parents like Linehan are not alone. Teachers are drafting a letter to send to Seattle Public Schools and the mayor's office on more guidance as more kids return to class and what solutions will work for families, teachers, and those who need shelter. The mayor's office says they share the concerns of parents and is offering technical assistance to help SPS address the encampment.
A technical assistance? What does that mean? Well, there's a local resident who is quoted in the news story by King 5 TV, who actually speaks some common sense. Listen, 16B.
Do you think that they should, that they kind of coexist with the school at the same time?
No, they should open up mental institutions again, maybe force habilitate them, probably more humane than keeping them on the streets in tents.
A Seattle Public Schools spokesperson says they are working with community organizations for a solution. They say they also have additional presence from security at the school.
Okay, when he said it's more humane, doesn't that nail it? I mean, doesn't that absolutely nail it? There is nothing humane, there is nothing decent, there is nothing sensible about trying to treat the right to camp adjacent to a public school everywhere in the city, under freeway, under overpasses, in public parks, everywhere. This is going to be another one of those hidden political issues that I think is going to rock our area coming up this year with the elections this November, and then for November of 2022. We can do better. Speaking of doing better, there is a Rolling Stone magazine celebrating the 80 greatest Bob Dylan covers, cover versions of Bob Dylan. And why 80 versions? Because Bob Dylan is 80 years old today. And there's a piece in the National Review. It's actually a very good piece, long piece, by Dan McLaughlin about Bob Dylan and who he is and his ideals and his various changes. And remember, he was aggressively a Christian for a while, and he's drifted sort of back to the Judaism that he was born with. But he recalls a May 1971 Peanuts strip by Charles Schulz, of course, where Linus is staring into space, and he tells Charlie Brown, Bob Dylan will be 30 years old this month. After one panel of silence, Charlie Brown then responds, that's the most depressing thing I've ever heard. Well, no, it's not. I mean, he's not 30, he's 80. But you want a depression? On that list on Rolling Stone magazine of the 80s greatest Bob Dylan covers, ranked 80th of his great Bob Dylan covers is Captain Kirk. That's right, William Shatner of Star Trek. His own performance of Mr. Tambourine Man. Listen.
Mr. Tambourine Man. Mr. Tambourine Man. Mr. Tambourine Man.
Be wandering. I wonder if the Nobel Prize Committee actually had the chance to sample the work by William Shatner in his cover of Dylan. William Shatner, by the way, is 90. He's 10 years older than Dylan, and he should live and be well. Trying to live and be well is the main challenge faced by Dave Bautista in the new zombie apocalypse extravaganza by director, producer, co-writer Zack Snyder. It's called Army of Darkness. Listen.
Now it's time for MedBed's Entertainment Minute.
Las Vegas has been taken over by tens of thousands of extraordinarily agile and formidable zombies, so the only answer is a nuclear bomb. But first, a squad of mercenaries led by Dave Bautista must penetrate the occupied territory to pull off a heist from a casino safe in the bizarre and occasionally brilliant Army of the Dead. Now streaming on Netflix.
Smarter, they're faster, they're organized. What is this?
That's crossing the line.
Well, director, co-writer Zack Snyder is noted for crossing the line in a variety of splashy, controversial superhero films, but Army of the Dead represents his best work since 300. The characterizations are far better, far deeper than you'd ever expect from a zombie apocalypse film, and it's the personal interactions, not just the body count violence, that makes the movie seem much shorter than its actually punishing 2.5 hour running time. Rated R, 2.5 stars for the over-the-top but visually stunning Army of the Dead. And next time on the Michael Medved Show, it's not an army of implacable zombies, but it is a coming sexual counter-revolution. We all know what the sexual revolution was, right, or is, But what's the counter-revolution, and what does it hold in store for us? And then this, speaking about revolutionary actions, teens in the past have been noted to sneak out of the house to go out and party. But now, in the midst of a pandemic, they actually have been sneaking out away from home to do something else that most people would consider admirable. We will get to that story. And also, Patty Murray, the mom with tennis shoes, as she styles herself, has been a United States Senator from Washington pretty much since the earth cooled. I mean, she's been here forever. We've lived here since 1996. She was elected in 1992, I believe. In any event, for the first time I can remember, she has a real opponent, a formidable opponent, and somebody who may win a bunch of unexpected people over to at least consider the Republican cause. We'll speak to a candidate for U.S. Senate, Tiffany Smiley, next time, and talk about the right way to preserve, protect, and advance this greatest nation on God's green earth.
My name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.